I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, because this message unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher and Shalom to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience. A reminder that Rabbi Glenn is going to be teaching our Bible study this evening at 6:30. Rabbi Glenn is a good teacher of the Word of God, and you're going to be getting good, solid teaching as he goes through the book of Galatians. So we welcome you to join us this evening at 6:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church on Telegraph Road, just north of Long Lake. Well, I have a guest today, and her name is Andrea Moon. And originally, Andrea is from Philadelphia, but she's now living here. She's married to Brian, and they have two children, Shayna and Miles. Andrea is a composer and pianist and teaches music in the Troy School District. She was raised in a conservative Jewish family. And Andrea was one of those who were with me from my earliest days here in Michigan when Martha and I first moved here. And we're having meetings in our basement in our house in Southfield, and that eventually grew and developed and became Congregation Shema Yisrael. So, Andrea, thank you for being with me all this time, and thank you for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Well, I'm very happy to talk to you today.
Thank you. Andrea, give us your story. How did the living God reveal himself to a nice Jewish girl like you, and that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world? How has Jesus made you, Andrea, kosher?
Well, I was brought up in a conservative background, and from when I was very young, I went to Hebrew school, I was bat mitzvahed, and I even continued until I was 16 with special classes with my rabbi for confirmation. I was very curious about the truth of life through my whole life, and I was very, very, very frustrated and rebellious when it came to attending synagogue.
Why is that?
Well, it never meant anything to me. I never felt any real connection to God. It was all about the holidays and the family and Israel, but there never was any type of real spiritual connection.
Andrew, I think you're expressing what many, many Jewish people have experienced. My Jewish upbringing was very much the same. Beautiful Jewish traditions and holiday, a beautiful culture and emphasis on family and morals, but no sense that the living God is close and real, and you could have, you know, a relationship with him and live forever with him.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about a situation that happened. When I was in, I think, maybe fifth or sixth grade, I went to a Jewish overnight camp called Camp Ramah in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. And we would have prayer time every morning with our Siddurim, our prayer books. And one summer they decided they wanted to do something, I don't know, a little bit more hip and interesting. So they copied the prayer book and they put them in notebooks. I don't really know why. And they wanted us to just go out and commune with nature and pray. And I have a very vivid memory of just going out there and having no idea what to do.
What do you mean commune with nature and pray?
Instead of us being like in the room or building that we were usually in, they just told us to just go out into the woods and pray.
Using your siddur, using your prayer book and saying the same prayers, but just outside.
And I just remember it just blank, nothing. And it's just a very vivid memory of them thinking they were going to do something that was going to connect with us, and it did nothing. And I realize now there really was nothing to connect with at that point.
Okay, so they were sensing that there was a need for some sort of spirituality, and they thought that a new location outside instead of inside might do the trick.
Right.
But if you're not connected to God and you don't have a personal relationship with God, it doesn't matter if you're inside or in the most majestic landscape possible.
Right. So I just remember that seems like one of the steps along the way. And then if you fast forward many years, I did go to Israel for the first time when I was 16. And I thought I would have a, putting quotation, spiritual experience there. And when I went to Jerusalem, I felt nothing. Once again, I remember seeing, the Wailing Wall and just didn't feel anything. And it was very disappointing to me. But the part of Israel that really impacted me the most, I think, was going to the Dead Sea. When I went there, I could remember reading about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's wife turning to a pillar of salt. And when I saw that land, I mean, it's just like being on another planet. It's so desolate. And I think at that point, I could actually believe that that really happened, that what was in the Old Testament was true. So that was kind of a seed that was planted to me when I was 16.
All right, so you grew up in a nice Jewish family in the Philadelphia area with a good solid Jewish education, and you went to, Jewish camp. You went to Israel when you were 16. You were kind of searching for Jewish spirituality. But if it was, at camp, using the siddur inside or trying to commune with God from the outside in nature, or even in Israel, you still weren't making that connection with the God of our fathers.
Right. And then I was thinking when I was preparing for this interview today about how I am a musician, and all through my life, it seems like music and my faith have been intertwined. So I have a kind of an interesting story. When I was in, I think my last year of college at Temple University, for the first time in the history of Temple, they had a jazz recital. Up until that point, it had always been just classical music. And I had just fallen in love with jazz that fall. And immediately after the concert, I approached the pianist in the band, and his name is John Zisk, and I asked him if he could give me jazz piano lessons. And he had never taught jazz before, but he said, okay, we'll try it. So guess what? John was a Christian. And John invited me to go to his house for lessons, and while I was there, there was another person there, and his name is Randy Newman, who I don't know if you know about Randy. He's very big in Campus Crusade for Christ.
I have heard of Randy. And is he a Jewish believer in Jesus also?
Yeah, he is. He was a sax player that went to Temple. And I know that he was just one of the keynote speakers at the last in-gathering in Wisconsin.
With Jews for Jesus.
Yeah, with Jews for Jesus. So anyway, Randy and John were there. And it's just so funny because I remember all of a sudden noticing that, like, he had scripture verses on his walls and he had a Bible in his car. And they just started talking to me about what was in the movies. They just opened up to the movie page and they were just talking about sin and about how, look at all these movie titles they're all talking about. I don't even remember what they were, but it was kind of an interesting approach. And then they started talking about the fact that they were both Christians and they really believed that they had found the truth about life. And my response to that was, I really can't, even think of investigating this because, my family would freak out and it would never be acceptable. And then either Randy or John said to me, are you going to let your family stop you from finding out the truth?
Good question.
Really good question, perfect question. And, of course, I said no. And so then I can't remember the exact, how the events happened, but another thing that was happening was I was then dating Brian, who is my husband now, 34 years. Brian was brought up as a Christian, and I didn't know this, but Brian had been praying for me, and he attended Ward Presbyterian Church in Livonia. And the former pastor was Bartlett Hess, who was a good friend of Moish Rosen from Jews for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian actually went to Moish Rosen and asked him if he could give him advice on how to witness to me.
Is that right?
Yes. So, and just saying, Brian's from Michigan, and because of music, he was in Philadelphia. So that was another connection that he was going to school there. And then he, you know, so these things were happening with John and Randy Newman, you know, my jazz piano teacher. But then at the same time, Brian just walked into my apartment one night with his Bible and just started talking about stuff, things from Revelation. And, you know, basically told me he was a Christian and that he wondered, did I believe that my ancestors were crazy? Or did I really believe that what they wrote about was true? And I think I did believe it was, I think I really did believe it was true. Even though I went to a conservative synagogue, when you are studying religious school, whoever they get for a teacher is whoever they get. You know, they're not paid well. And it just depends what that person believes. And even one of my Hebrew school teachers said that she didn't believe that the Red Sea really parted, that it was low tide.
You know, I had a very similar situation with Uncle Cap, my, like great uncle. He was the patriarch of our family, and he was the most religious one in the family. He was, you know, kind of Orthodox. And I remember him going through the, you know, leading the Passover Seder every year, and we're in Passover right now. And he also, even though he's Orthodox, Andrea, he kept minimizing, you know, the miracles of the Passover story and the Exodus from Egypt. And he also talked about how it was, you know, not a wall of water on the right hand and the left hand, and the Jewish people went through the Red Sea on dry ground. But he too was trying to minimize the miraculous and say that, you know, it was low tide.
Right. So, I mean, so what I'm saying is that even though, I mean, there was some, I mean, I would say maybe, I don't know what my teachers believed. I just know that I did believe it. And so it was kind of a logical succession. Well, if you believe that what they said was true, then, you know, if you read the prophecies that are in the Old Testament about Jesus, then you can find out if he really was the Messiah that they wrote about. And the very first book I read was the book of John. I didn't start in the Old Testament. So we kind of went back and forth between the two books.
What two books?
Between, I mean, not two books. I mean, between the Old and the New Testament. So the first, I'm saying when people witnessed to me, the first thing I read was the book of John. And when I read it, the very, very first line of it, I just felt an incredible peace just from those words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the, you know, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And I just read those words, and they just, I can't even describe the feeling I got from just reading those words.
That's wonderful. I mean, well, God's Word is living and powerful, and just those first few words from this wonderful book of John, something spiritual and supernatural was taking place with you.
Right. And also, Brian said to me, if you want to find out if Jesus is really who he says he is, just ask him. And I had never in my life really prayed before that day. And I just said those words, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, show yourself to me. I just said those words.
When you say before that day you never really prayed, I mean, you grew up in the synagogue and you were davening and you know, praying your way through the Siddur, the prayer book. So what do you mean that you never really prayed?
I don't think I ever really felt like I was praying to God. I think I was just saying words. I never felt any kind of a spiritual connection with God. It was just going through the motions.
And so your first real prayer is when you said, Jesus, if you're real, if you're there, what, show yourself to me? Something like that?
Just those, very, very simply, show yourself to me. And another thing that Brian said to me was, can't you just admit that, you know, like you're a sinner? I don't know if he used the word sinner, but you definitely have faults and things that you've done in your life that are wrong. And I did. You know, I did a lot of really rotten things in my life, and I think that I had gone through my whole life rationalizing them away. I don't think I ever really truly admitted that what I did was wrong and, you know, that I should be sorry for it to the God who created me.
So you realized, you started to realize that you were a sinner in need of forgiveness and atonement and salvation.
Yes, yes.
Very important concept.
Right. So that, you know, so it's hard, you know, to think of all the turns of events that happened since then. But something that was very interesting was that when you're a music major, you start off with a lot of people in your classes, but each year that you go on, your classes become smaller and smaller. So you're really with a very, you know, a very limited group of people. so by the time I was a junior and senior, I really knew the people well that I was around, and there were a decent amount of Christians, and they made themselves known. And one of them was a guy named Bob Coughlin, who I remember wore a T-shirt that said, God is love. Some of the Christians had scriptures in their lockers in the music school. And even when we went away for this choir camp, one of them was leading a Bible study. I think maybe it was Randy Newman. I'm kind of thinking it was him. And I ended up being in a room with three other Christians when I was at choir camp. And they all were sharing their favorite scriptures with each other. So I'm saying that with, you know, speaking to John and speaking to Brian, there were other things that were going on in my life at the same time that were reinforcing what they had told me.
Andrea, a lot of the listeners to Jesus Made Me Kosher are Gentile Christians who have Jewish friends or coworkers or neighbors or even members of their family, and yet seem hesitant to talk about God or the Bible or messianic prophecies with their Jewish friends. What would you say to encourage them?
I just had the same conversation this morning, and the woman said, you know, we're really good friends with this Jewish couple, but, you know, we have an understanding, you know, we want, you know, kind of like we don't want to offend each other. And I just told her that, and she said that they told her that it seems like they know more about Judaism than they do.
The Christian family knows more than the Jewish family.
Or the Jewish family. So my advice would be to just, you know, I know Jews for Jesus always says is just ask them questions. I mean, we just had the Passover Seder, and, you know, my prayer every year is that all of these Jews at their Passover Seder will think about, what does this all mean? What was the purpose of the Passover? What does it really symbolize? So you can ask them about their different holidays. Why do you celebrate them?
What does Passover mean for you now as a Messianic Jew?
Well, when I was a brand-new believer, when Brian and I lived in Italy, I read a lot of Christian books, and one of them was by Francis Schaeffer. And he talked about how the first sacrifice was in the Garden of Eden, you know, when they, you know, broke God's commandment. The next one was, and that was just for two people. And then after that, they were commanded to sacrifice one lamb for their family. And it had to be a perfect lamb that, you know, they would sacrifice, and they had to follow the directions that they were given by Moses, you know, from God to Moses. And it meant that they would be protected, they would be saved from death. So at that point, they had to believe it, they had to follow the directions, and they would be saved from having their firstborn child killed. But later, there was one lamb sacrificed for the temple, which would have been for all of the Jewish people. And then eventually, Jesus became the lamb for all of human people. So to me, it's a progression of sacrifices.
And it makes sense, starting in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, a sacrifice for them, and then a sacrifice for a family, an animal, a sacrifice for the nation of Israel, and then the ultimate sacrifice, Messiah, our Passover lamb, for Jews and Gentiles, for the whole world.
Right. And I think that when I celebrate the Passover Seder, it means a lot more to me now because I see the progression, where before, that was it. It just stopped.
How has being part of a Messianic synagogue like Shema benefited you and your family?
Well, I have been thinking that ever since I became a Christian, one of the greatest things I've had is good teaching. And I would like to say to you, Lauren, that the very first time I ever heard you teach was on the book of Daniel, and that was in your basement when there were, you know, just a handful of people. And I think that your teaching and Rabbi Glenn's teaching has always been sound teaching. So that would be the number one thing that I would say about our congregation. I think that being in a Messianic congregation is different from a traditional church because we do focus on the Jewish roots of our faith. And I have met so many Christians that just even 2 weeks ago, I just said to someone that I'm a Messianic Jew, you know, I'm a Jewish Christian, and he said, I've never heard of that. And I always say, well, the first Christians were Jews, and Jesus is Jewish. And they're like, oh, I never thought about that. So So I think that's, you know, I think that being Jewish and being Christian goes together.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm so pleased that you and Brian have stuck with us all these years. And, you know, we were able to, you know, have bar mitzvahs for Miles and Shana. And, you know, that was a real joy to me.
It was great.
And yeah.
A lot of their friends came, and it was a great experience for them to, you know, there were a decent amount of Jewish kids that came to Miles bar mitzvah. And it was a great experience for them to be there.
You've experienced a little bit of rejection from your family, and that's difficult, but you've endured. Has it been worth it?
Definitely. And it's a kind of a complicated story, but after I did, I married Brian, who was not Jewish, and then became Christian, and then God orchestrated it for us to go to Italy. So while we were in Italy, our marriage was very, very strong, and we were in a fantastic Bible study with Cora Hoag, who was sent from 10th Presbyterian Church from Philadelphia. And so I could really, really study the Bible that year, and our marriage was cemented, but I was not allowed in my house for about 3 years.
Wow.
And it was very painful. I didn't talk about this yet, but my brother is an Orthodox rabbi who teaches at Bar Ilan University in Israel. And to them, what I did was the most horrible thing any Jewish person could do. I not only married a non-Jewish person, but I, you know, as they think, left the faith, which I don't believe I did. I am Jewish, and I am Christian.
And I would say, really, you're more Jewish than your Orthodox brother.
I would agree with that. And when you asked me, the question was, is it worth it? I would say that, I'm at school. The older I get, you know, the deeper my faith is, and the more, you know, the better my life gets all the time. Every year is better than the year before. When I go back and visit my family, I just see them as getting older and sicker and weaker. I don't see their life getting better. I see it getting worse. And I think they dread old age because all they have to look forward to is pain, sickness, you know, lack of independence. And I feel just the opposite, that every year my life is better because it's richer, you know, with my relationship with Jesus. You know, it's just everything's better every year.
Andrew, we only have about 1 minute. In 1 minute, tell us how God has orchestrated the circumstances of your life and, you know, how your life has been blessed and maybe how prayer has, your prayer has changed over the years, your prayer life.
Well, God orchestrated in my life that my husband Brian would go to school in Philadelphia and I would meet him. He also orchestrated it that, I didn't talk about how I met you. I met that I would meet you at Ward Presbyterian Church when the Messianic performance group was there. I met you then, so that's how I met, you know, I got to go to Shema. And I'm in an excellent Bible study right now through somebody that I met. So every step of the way, it seems like God has orchestrated my life to draw me closer to him and to bless me and my family.
Yes, I agree. And you've been a blessing to me and to everyone else who's part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, and I'm really grateful that God has brought you and Brian and your children into our community. You've been wonderful over the years. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Andrew, thank you for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. A really good interview. I enjoyed it, and I'm sure the Faith Talk 1500 audience did as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And this is Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is Wednesday, and I just want you to know that Rabbi Glenn, my co-host, will be teaching our Bible study this evening at 6:30. So if you want to hear the Word of God taught from a Messianic Jewish perspective, you're welcome to come tonight at 6:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. Great location, right on Telegraph, just north of Long Lake Road. At 6:30, Rabbi Glenn is teaching on the book of Galatians, a really great book from the Brit Chadashah, from the New Covenant Scriptures. And so from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, I want to pray that God's shalom, his perfect peace, is yours in abundance.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.